Let me summarize what you just read here for you. It says in Leviticus 25:17, "Thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God." John 15:5, "Without me you can do nothing." Psalm 34:9, he says, "Fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's no want to them that fear him." Proverbs 13:15 says, "The good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." And Jeremiah 5:22, he asks the question, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence?" Let me pray, and let's look at what these have to say to us tonight. Father, thank you tonight for what we see. God, please help us. Don't make this an ordinary night, but help each of us to be changed. And I do pray for those that are not here tonight that somehow they'd get this message as well. It's very important to our church. It's very important to our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to Thailand to visit a missionary about 10 years ago, maybe 10 or 12. And we went to a place called the Siracha Tiger Zoo. If you've seen my picture on Facebook of me sitting on top of the crocodile, or was it an alligator? I don't remember which one it was. A crocodile, I think. That was at the Siracha Tiger Zoo. But they had a show there. It was an elephant show where big, like it looked like a rodeo arena, but it had a cover over the top of it because it's so hot in Thailand. And they had some elephants, and these elephants would do different tricks. And the missionary, whose name is Mike, thought it would be really funny if he could get them to take me as a volunteer. And they did. So I went down, and I'm in the arena, and I'm watching all these people out here, and here comes the elephant. And the fella had me lay down on the ground. He put a mat down because it was just dirt, and he had me lay down on top of this mat. And then he had, I don't know, what does an elephant weigh, you figure? About 5 tons, something like that? 10,000 pounds, pretty easy, probably. He had an elephant come and stand over me and pat me on the stomach with his foot. And I kept laying there thinking, the first thought I always have in a situation like that is, they're not going to hurt me because they don't want somebody to get sued. But then I'm in Thailand. What do they care about getting sued in Thailand? And I thought, you know, that elephant, if he wanted to, he could squish me like a bug. And I can't say I was terribly afraid, but would you agree with me? Have you ever seen a rogue elephant when they have the rutting season and they go crazy? What if they go crazy when you're out there in the middle of the arena with them? And they did some other things that were kind of funny, but I thought to myself, if that elephant wanted to, what could he do to me? Just like that. It's not a bad kind of a fear. It's just an awareness that that elephant is capable of doing terrible things. Now, that's a simple illustration to get us thinking about it, but in the Bible tells us, in fact, we read one of these places where it's commanded, he says, "Thou shalt fear thy God," Leviticus 25:17. And I've had a lot of people say a lot of things about, what does it mean to fear the Lord? What is that? And I remember arguing with my stepmother about it because she listened to too many TV evangelists, and she had a bunch of crazy ideas. But you'd have to agree with me on the surface. The Bible commands us to fear God. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about what that is, and we're going to talk about what it provides, and then the danger of not having it. And I'm going to try and do all that in about 25 minutes, and we'll see if I can do that or not. I want to ask you some questions. I sent an email out today, so if you've seen that, you've heard these already. Do you think the Lord can give you a good life? Yes. Do you? I know God can give us a great life. I have no doubt about that. Now, let's not worry about the definition quite yet. Let's just move on. Do you think the Lord can change your life to make it a good life? A lost person? This morning I was reading the Bible and I read about the woman that the Pharisees wanted to stone because they caught her committing adultery. Hey, look who's here. Come on in, guys. And the Lord said to that woman, "I don't condemn you." And he said, "Go and sin no more." So the idea there that God can forgive and change a life. Let me ask another question. Do you think you can have a good life without the Lord? Some people think they can. I don't. I don't believe that's possible. Do you think God gives everyone a good life even when they do not seek, serve, or obey Him? No. Fact is, we read one of the verses already that I wanted to point out to you in Proverbs 13:15. The way of transgressors is hard. You say, but I'm saved. I know, the way of transgressors is hard. Is it not likely that if we would change and be more of what God wants us to be, our life would get better? Don't you think? A very dangerous place to be is where you think you've arrived. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't have any room for improvement. Someone says, I'm there. No, you're not. Not until you... The Bible says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of God, of Christ, of His Son, in Romans. We got a ways to go, don't we? We'd like for God to bring us along in that way. Wouldn't you also agree with me that it's very likely that if you will not change, if you will not obey God, He will chasten you. And chastening is something that every parent understands. Consequences for actions. And I'll read you a verse about that here in just a minute. What could God do for us? Oh, here's another question. What could God do against us? And I think we like to put ourselves in that first category, don't we? The fear of the Lord. I like Webster's 1828 dictionary. Let's kind of launch into that a little bit and get some ideas. Basic definition of fear, just any old simple kind of fear, is a painful emotion excited by an expectation of evil. That's one possibility. Or, this is a better one, the apprehension of impending danger. The apprehension of impending danger. That elephant could squish me. A little fear comes along. I'll read you another definition. It'll help you in a minute. But can I ask you this? I know God loves us, but is it not dangerous to oppose Him? Amen? Guys, don't leave so quick. You just got here. It is definitely, fear is a passion which our nature excites to provide for our security on the approach of evil. In other words, fear is a good thing because what it does is it reminds us to avoid evil. I was in college and I was out in the middle of the evening about 10 o'clock at night, and I was walking across a dark field on the way to a store to buy a popsicle. And a policeman pulled up next to me. And he says to me, "Do you feel safe here?" And I thought, he wouldn't ask me that question if I should feel safe here. What he's trying to say is, be careful. This is not a safe place to be. And then the fear causes you not to get in danger, right? So that's a good thing. And then the third thing that Webster says, the fear of God is, and watch these words, but it's an awe or a reverence of God and His laws, which comes from a just view and a real love of His character, leading His subjects, that's you and I, to hate and shun things that offend Him, and inclining us to aim at obeying Him. The simple illustration, you've heard this story. A little boy has been bad during the day, and his mom says, "Wait till Dad gets home." Is he afraid of Dad coming home? Amen? Now, Dad loves him, but his concern is, what's going to happen to me because of my disobedience? Now, just a simple question, and that is, don't we feel that God would deal with us differently if we were good children who obeyed? All right, so let's go a little bit deeper into this. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, you and I stand in God's presence, right? And when we stand in His presence and perceive that, for example, when you stand before Him on a judgment day, I guarantee you there'll be a fear. You're going to have an awe, a reverence, an understanding of how awesome He is. His power, His holiness is going to bring that fear out. And I guarantee you, you're going to wish you had never disobeyed Him. Now, aren't you glad Christ paid for our sins? But the Bible says we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and everyone will give account of ourselves. And so that's definitely going to happen. Obedience, therefore, is a direct result of fearing God. So this is going to go kind of fast, but here, watch. Number one, what does the Bible say that it means to fear the Lord? I've already shown you that we're commanded to fear the Lord. What does that mean? If you want to try to keep up with me, I'm going to read these verses kind of quick. I got a lot of them. But start in Proverbs 8. I'll give you time to get there so we can at least get started. I generally go from left to right, so I'll be moving through the Bible, going further into it. Proverbs 8 is the first place we're going to start. What does it mean to fear the Lord? This is one of those verses that's just so clear, you cannot fail to see it. In verse 13, Proverbs 8, 13. You there? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord is to want what he wants and not want what he doesn't want, to hate what he hates. And folks, God sent Jesus to the cross. The sin sent Jesus to the cross. Proverbs 16. I can't wait for you for all these, but I'll try to. Proverbs 16. Again, real clear definition. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Now, I'm going to jump ahead in my verses and read you one that, if I can find it here on my notes. Psalm 36, 1. Just listen. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. The transgression of the wicked, the people that do wickedness, aren't afraid of God. Don't fear the Lord is a better way to say it, right? Okay, this is all very simple so far. You're not getting excited yet, but you will. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? To depart from evil. Because if you have an understanding of God's opinion of sin and of how he deals with sin, you don't want to sin. Amen? Does God correct his children? Have you ever seen a little child whose parents don't correct them? What do? Anything they want to. I was in an airport in Connecticut. And Hartford, Connecticut, and I was waiting for my luggage to come out, and they had this long row of baggage carousels. And way down at the other end, I couldn't see it yet, but I could hear some dad yelling at his kids, Get off of that! What are you doing? Don't go there! Stop it! Come over here! And it kept going as they got closer and closer and closer to me. And then I saw these two kids, and they're running on the carousels, and they're picking stuff up, and he's walking along yelling at them the whole time. And it dawned on me, they're not afraid of what he says, are they? Because he's demonstrated to them, he's not going to correct them, he's just going to yell at them. So they don't care anymore, they do what they want to do. Does God deal with us that way? No, he corrects us, doesn't he? Why does he correct us? He loves us. Amen? It's simple. So the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil, to do what's right, to obey him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him. Now, what does it provide us when we do fear the Lord? And let me just be so simple and elementary and make it as clear as I can. We need to obey God. Because we need God in our life, in our situation, in our trials, in our heart, in our day, in our health, in whatever you want to call it. And it's not that God would forsake you. We just sang the song, No, Never Alone. He promised never to leave me. But he will deal with us differently when we fear him, when we obey him, when we do what's right. So here are some verses. I'm going to read quite a few here. If you want to keep up with me, I'm going to start in Proverbs and then go back to Psalms and stay there. So don't worry about Proverbs right now. Just go to Psalm 25. And I'll read the one in Proverbs for you, and then we'll move through these. These are all indications from the Bible of what God will do if we obey him, if we fear him, if we depart from evil, like the Bible says. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Why? Anybody? What do you think? Why would you be more confident when you fear the Lord and you know you're right with Him? Mark? Okay. Okay. I'm thinking about confidence in the sense of not being afraid of what's going to happen. Thinking of an illustration here. So the fellow that says, maybe there's a man, he's trained to be a weightlifter, and he knows he can lift 500 pounds, and they put a 100-pound weight in front of him. He says, there's no question about it, I can lift this weight. But when it gets a little bit heavier, now he might not be able to do it. He's not as confident. But folks, what can God do? Amen? Now, if you fear the Lord, is the Lord not on your side? Let me give you some examples. Was David confident when he faced Goliath? Yeah. Because he knew God was going to fight with him. Was Joshua confident when they went up against Jericho? Yeah. Because he knew God was going to fight with him. It's like I've told you many times, my friend Pete Shemansky, when I was at Army camp in Fort Riley back in 1978, Pete Shemansky, 6'8" tall, 275 pounds, lineman for a Wisconsin football team. Big, mean-looking Polish guy. Biggest guy in the camp. And he was my buddy. And when I was with Pete, I wasn't worried. Nobody's going to hurt me. Pete's there, and Pete likes me. And we'd go anywhere. Folks, in the fear of the Lord, there's confidence. When you are pleasing to God, He takes specially good care of you. Amen? Instead of worrying, maybe I'm in trouble with God and He's going to chasten me, when we're right with Him, we know He's going to take care of us. I got to go faster. Psalm 25:14. You can read this one with me, but I'll read out loud. He says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Have you ever wondered why some people can't understand the Bible and other people can? Because, folks, when you're right with God, He shows you stuff. Things that other people won't see. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. So we've got confidence. We've got this revelation. Psalm 33, turn over there. Psalm 33, verse 18. This is a good one. You know this verse. He says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, and upon them that hope in His mercy. I've got that circled in my Bible. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. What does that mean? He's watching over you. So, Pastor, He watches over everybody. He does, but He watches over those that are right with Him, that fear Him, that obey Him in a special way. In a way that He doesn't watch over others. Psalm 34:7. The whole psalm is great. I almost just preached that tonight. He says, this is good. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth him. Isn't that good? And by the way, you don't want to be crosswise with an angel. I guarantee you that. Psalm 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. Now, this is good. For there is no want to them that fear Him. Want means something that you would like to have, need to have, but can't have. Insufficiency, doing without, going hungry, that kind of thing. Want. In other words, He'll meet our needs. Amen? I'm liking this. Fearing the Lord, confidence, the secret, the eye of the Lord upon Him, the angel camping around about Him. There's no want to them that fear Him. Now go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verse 11. It says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Now, you might ask the question, what is mercy? Mercy is when you do not get what you deserve. In other words, when you do something that's not right and God withholds chastening or withholds punishment or withholds consequences or protects you somehow, even though you didn't deserve it. And you say, well, Pastor, I thought fearing God was obeying Him. It is, but the fear of the God is an attitude or a way of seeing things, a way of thinking. And the fact is, folks, sometimes we're going to sin. And we need God's mercy. Again, I was reading about the woman this morning, and the Lord says to her that he does not condemn her. It's nice to know God doesn't condemn you, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is something, he says here in Psalm 103, that brings mercy. When we do sin, he's merciful towards us. Verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. So there's two kinds of disobedience. There's that person that says, I know God doesn't like this, I'm going to do it anyway. I know God doesn't want this, but I want it, so I'm going to get it. I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to be. It's what I'm going to have. And then there's the person that says, I really want to please God. I don't want to do this. And then they sin, but their attitude towards God is different. It's not a rebellious, I'm going to do what I want kind of attitude. It's a, I want to please God, but somehow we're going to sin anyway because that's what we are. So there's two different ways of looking at things. Psalm 145, please. Psalm 145, 19. Psalm 145, 19. I'm going to read verse 18 as well. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. He goes on, he says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Folks, sometimes we ask ourselves, why doesn't God answer prayer? One reason is when we're willfully disobedient. And we need to get right with God to see our prayers be more effective. But he says, when you fear the Lord, he will fulfill your desire. Then finally, Psalm 147, you're probably already there. In verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Interesting verse, not enough time to talk about all of it, but the Lord taketh pleasure. Does he take pleasure in us? Amen? Do we please him? Amen? That's what he's saying, and I want him to take pleasure in me. All right, we're almost done. What does it mean to fear the Lord? To depart from evil? To walk in his ways, to love him and serve him. What does it provide? Confidence, and I won't read the whole list again, but protection and answered prayer and mercy and needs being met. Now, what is caused by not fearing the Lord? I'll read one. I'll have you turn to Proverbs 1. I'm going to read one more verse for you, but go ahead and turn to Proverbs 1. You're right there anyway. It's one more page over probably in your Bible. But let me read something to you in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. What is caused by not fearing the Lord? He says to them in Jeremiah, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. What is he saying in Jeremiah 2:19? Let me read that important phrase again. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Someone says, I'm going to do what I want, even though it's against God's will, even though it's sin, even though it's wrong. And God says, well, I'm going to let you see how it feels. Because, folks, the wages of sin is death. And I don't want to be too presumptuous, but I know there are Christians who have suffered because they disobeyed God and insisted on being wicked, and then they saw the consequences of wickedness. Righteousness has consequences, doesn't it? So does wickedness. Now, you're with me in Proverbs 1. We'll read several verses here and we're going to be done. I'll read just a few quotes and we'll be done for the night. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. Let's read verse 20. Let's start in verse 24. I'm just going to read down to the end of the chapter almost. Proverbs 1, 24. Now, this is wisdom talking, by the way, but wisdom is doing God's will. You see wisdom crying out in verse 20, but in verse 24 he says, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You didn't want to have my correction. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Do you see that in verse 29? They would none. They wanted none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. That's a lot like Jeremiah 2:19. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I would suggest to you it's a bad idea not to fear God. Amen? And that's quite passive. I'll read you a couple of quotes and we'll be done. I like what Spurgeon says, this sometimes, this time. He says, he who fears God has nothing else to fear. Amen? Tozer, I'm not crazy about his doctrine, but he did say a good thing here. He says, when men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation. But I like what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There was a man named Benjamin Rush. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. I don't know a lot about him, but I think we visited his house in Williamsburg, Colonial Williamsburg. I'm not sure, but he was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and he would have been a contemporary with people like Benjamin Franklin and so on. So Benjamin Rush made a comment, and he was talking to John Adams. Benjamin Rush says, upon my return from the Army to Baltimore in the winter of 1777, if you know about the Revolutionary War, in 1777 we were losing badly. It was ugly. We had no hope. We didn't have hope until the 1780s, actually. But anyway, he returned from the Army to Baltimore in the winter of 1777. He sat next to John Adams in Congress. And upon my whispering to him, I asked him if he thought we should succeed in our struggle with Great Britain. John Adams, you remember him? Second president? Anyway, third president. Here's what Adams said to him. He said, yes, we will succeed in our struggle with Great Britain if we fear God and repent of our sins. I'm not thinking you're going to hear that coming from the Congress today. I wish you would, but we can fear God. Amen? We can say, I respect God. I know who he is. I know what he can do. I don't want him to be unhappy with me. I want to please him. We can do that. And then all these benefits. Amen? You know, like me and Pete Shemansky. When I'm with Pete, it doesn't matter who else is there. He's the prominent force in the room. Folks, you and God, or our church and God, against the rest of the world, we're in the majority, aren't we? Amen? Pastor, what are you trying to get us to see? The most obvious and simple thing. Let's please God. Let's fear him. Amen? And let's consider what he has to say. And folks, we got to do that. And if we will, it doesn't matter who's against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Let's all stand and pray.